Hello and welcome, my dear children, to today's special episode on your favorite podcast, Once Upon a Time with Uttara. Keeping in mind that India's Independence Day is just a few days away, the stories I will share with you today are about the lives of a few of the bravest warrior queens of our country. We will listen to these true stories under the Swap Story series or Stories with a Purpose. We as a country have produced many brave warriors and heroes, and this is just an attempt to tell the stories of a few of those brave queens who we don't thank enough. So here we go. I am sure, children, that all of you are aware of the fact that for several hundred years, India was ruled and under the control of the British Empire, specifically through the organization called the East India Company. They started as traders and slowly entangled themselves in the politics of our country, one small kingdom at a time, until they eventually controlled the entire government. There was a very strange rule that the East India Company had come up with, which basically said that any small princely state in India which did not have an able and fit male ruler or king would automatically lapse back to the British East India Company. This basically meant that for any royal kingdom where the king died without leaving a capable prince to take over the rule of the region, the East India Company automatically became the rulers. This principle was called the doctrine of lapse. As you can imagine, children, this was an extremely unfair and unpopular decision at the time. But because the East India Company was so large and so powerful that very few kingdoms actually rose up in revolt of this decision. Today we will learn about two such brave queens who rose up and revolted against this rule when nobody else was brave enough. And by doing that, they became immortal heroes of the Indian freedom struggle. The first warrior queen we will learn about today is the brave Rani Chennamma, who was the queen of Kittur in Karnataka. Chennamma was born on 23rd October 1778 in Kakati, a small village in Karnataka, outside the royal family. Throughout her childhood, she was taught horse riding, sword fighting, and archery, and became quite famous for her martial skills. She was married to King Mallasaraja, the king of Kittur, in 1793. However, their married life only lasted for a few years, and in the year 1816, the king passed away. The royal couple had a son, but unfortunately, he too died in the year 1824, just a few years after the king's death. In the absence of both a king as well as a prince, the East India Company swooped down and claimed that the kingdom of Kittur should revert to the rule of the company. Rani Chennamma was quite upset with this decision, as were the subjects of Kittur. As the queen, she adopted a boy called Shivalingappa, who was officially named as the heir to the throne of Kittur. As a queen and a mother, she had full rights to do this, but the East India Company refused to accept this and demanded that she give away the control of Kittur province to them. The brave Rani obviously refused to agree to this unreasonable demand of the East India Company and tried to appeal to Mount Stuart Elphinstone, who was the Lieutenant Governor of the Bombay Presidency. But her request was refused, and the East India Company instead declared war on Kittur and the Rani for refusing to listen to them. Their ultimate objective was to capture and snatch the royal jewels of Kittur, which was valued at 1.5 million rupees. On 21st October 1824, the East India Company attacked Kittur with a force of about 20,000 men and 400 guns with the intention to capture these riches. They then planned to weaken the Rani economically and ultimately capture and kill her, thereby taking over the province of Kittur completely. Even though Rani Chennamma's forces were heavily outnumbered by the British troops, she and her army successfully managed to defend themselves, and the East India Company suffered heavy losses. Sir John Thackeray, the British collector and political agent, was killed in battle, and two British officers were taken hostage. The noble Rani thought that she could negotiate freedom for herself and her subjects in exchange for letting the two British officers go. The Rani negotiated with the East India Company and eventually let the two British officers go on the condition that the war would stop and that there would be no more bloodshed. However, the British went back on their word and resumed the attack on Kittur and the Rani. The brave Rani fought valiantly alongside her troops, but the larger forces of the East India Company eventually prevailed and she was captured and imprisoned. Rani Chennamma eventually died while in prison on 21st February 1829. The Rani's troops continued to do guerrilla warfare against the British for some time after her capture, but eventually those tries failed and they were either all captured or put to death. This, children, was one of the first wars of independence that was fought against the East India Company and helped to lay the foundation for future revolts and uprisings. The first phase of this battle is still celebrated to this day in Kittur between the 22nd and 24th of October every year as the Kittur Festival. The second warrior queen I want to talk to you about today is the famous Rani of Jhansi, Lakshmibai. She was born in the town of Varanasi on 19th November 1828 as Manikarnika, but fondly addressed as Manu. Her parents were called Bhagirathi and Morapant Tambe. When Manu was just 4 years old, she lost her mother and was raised by her father. He was the commander of war under the Peshwa Bajirao II and educated Manu himself. The Peshwa was also very fond of Manu and nicknamed her Chabili. Apart from reading and writing, Manu's education also included archery, sword fighting, horse riding, battle strategies and so on. And she studied and learned the art of warfare under the guidance of Nana Sahib and Tatya Tope. You should find out more about them, children. They were great strategists and freedom fighters in their own right. Mature and capable beyond her age, Manu was sent off to live with her husband, King Gangadhar Rao of Jhansi, at the tender age of 14 in the year 1842, and she was given the name of Lakshmibai. Rani Lakshmibai continued her martial training and her unusual lifestyle even after marriage, often travelling on horseback between the royal palace and the temple. In September 1851, Rani Lakshmibai gave birth to a boy who was named Damodar Rao. Unfortunately, the child did not survive and died in a few months. The grieving royal couple adopted the king's cousin's son and renamed him Damodar Rao. And the king petitioned the East India Company to respect the child as his legal heir in case of his death. Because of his poor health, the king also passed away soon in November 1843. By this time, the kingdom of Jhansi was already being looked after by Rani Lakshmibai due to the king being bedridden. Lord Dalhousie, the British Governor General of India, applied the principle of doctrine of lapse and rejected Damodar Rao as the future king of Jhansi since he had been adopted. They refused to treat Rani Lakshmibai with respect as the regent of Jhansi and offered her an annual pension of 60,000 rupees a year and asked her to leave the palace and her kingdom. But the British were not ready for the young Rani's stubbornness. She refused to hand over Jhansi to the British and asserted her son's right and her right to rule over their kingdom. She was constantly at odds with the British agent that had been posted in Jhansi to look after the day-to-day administrative affairs. When the revolt of 1857 first broke out in Meerut, Rani Lakshmibai decided to join them to oppose the unfair and wrongful policies of the British. British troops arrived in Jhansi in 1858 to capture it, under the command of Sir Hugh Rose. He demanded a complete surrender of the city and of Rani Lakshmibai herself, threatening to destroy the city if they didn't. The Battle of Jhansi is the stuff of legends and it raged for 2 whole weeks. The brave Rani was among the first in line to fight against the British with her young son tied to her back. Seeing her strength and valor, all the other troops felt energized and inspired to defeat the British. Lakshmibai did not accept defeat and did not surrender even when most of her troops were lost. She escaped with a small contingent of palace guards and with her son to Gwalior, where she rejoined the battle with Tatya Tope and other rebels and helped capture the Gwalior fort. Refusing to give up her rights and refusing to acknowledge defeat, even when all seemed lost, the brave Rani finally died in battle on the 18th of June 1858 in Gwalior. She was dressed as a soldier when she died, a fitting uniform for the brave warrior queen that she was. Even her arch enemy Sir Hugh Rose spoke about her with admiration, saying that she was the most dangerous of all the rebel leaders. The young Rani was only 29 years old. Rani Lakshmibai is still cited as an epitome of bravery and perseverance. Her unparalleled bravery is still a source of pride and gratitude for all the citizens of our country. Her life and her sacrifice inspired many women to join the Indian freedom struggle, which ultimately ended with India getting its freedom in the year 1947. I hope you enjoyed listening to the stories about these two admirable warrior queens of India and feel inspired by them. I will see you next time on your favorite podcast, Once Upon a Time with Uttara, with a brand new story. So until next time, be good, be brave, and bye-bye.